on 1116 SEN. The Whiteboard with Robert Shaw and Michael Jamieson.
And it's Jamieson, not Jamieson. So, you see, incorrect pronunciation can happen anytime, anywhere. But we'll put all that aside and welcome Jamo back. How are you, Michael?
Oh, I'm well, mate. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you back,
Jamo. When was he here before?
He was here for a month last year when his good friend and manager Nigel Carmody got married.
He took off overseas for a month.
So yeah.
And he did the program.
And did it very well.
Bettered.
Very comfortable, isn't
he? Yeah. That he walked in here, didn't know, do I sit here, do I sit there? Straight into the Jamieson chair, as we call
You're
it.
You're in my chair, actually, sure.
I thought you were going to say me, and you know what? I would have got up. okay. Last week, late withdrawal, and just where's the worst place to watch a bad game like that? Clubs have it. Unfortunately, the timing was very poor given how important a game it had been made for Carlton to honour their coach. Is it worse to be on the field or in the stands when those sort of things happen?
I think in the stands, knowing that you're not helping really in any way. And you see the boys out there and, you know, it was a really, really poor performance and they all know that, but knowing that you're not sort of in there in the trenches with them, I think that's even worse.
Michael, we don't want to ask too much about the inner thinking, but to the people in the stands and the people following the game, Jamieson out and Robbie Warnock in, it was an interesting one. Is that a indication of struggles with depth at the moment in the defence? You've got Watto in the seconds that has played some very good football up forward. I guess there wasn't a thought of putting him into defence at any stage, you thought?
No, it was. I think if you look at them, you know, as a direct swap, myself for Robbie, it might look a little bit askew. But I guess we'd, you know, the day of and even the day before, I was probably more likely not to play than to play. And that's why we picked Jaxie Christian. Yeah. So that was probably more the swap was, you know, those... Jaxie for me rather than Robbie for me.
Gotcha.
But I understand the question of those of me and of Robbie, but that probably wasn't really the swap.
The one thing about not being out there, when a team has a Friday night thrashing like that, when it's Carlton and it's against Collingwood and it's a big milestone game, every player gets absolutely dissected. It's CSI from the back line. And I get a sense that some of the players, look, for some players, obviously with Carlton struggling on the night and for the season, the fans have every right to ask questions. But I think the hardest ones are these guys that have just turned up at the club. And I do the show after the game, so you can imagine what the talkback was like. I just think they've got to cut Christian Jacks a bit of slack, because I don't think he's had... I know that I saw him in that NAB challenge and he looked really good. And then he got in... He looked slowish on Friday night, and it was hard for him to keep up, but he hasn't lost pace in 5 weeks of his life. So can you give maybe a bit of background as to the injury that he had and why it's not easy coming back on a Friday night when your team's getting pasted and you haven't played for a month?
Yeah, no doubt. Look, we didn't think initially when Jaxie got injured in December or January, we didn't think he'd be back playing until June. So the fact that he's... back out there already is a bonus within itself. So no doubt he's going to, you know, take a little while to find his feet, and it's all also, as you said, difficult to come into a new team and, you know, and gel with the boys. But you know, when you're a sub 20 game player and you're playing in a defence with the ball coming in as easily as it was, I'm just not trying to make too many excuses for the young fella who he knows he needs to improve, and we all do. But I think the point you made, Finey, about you know, questioning the young players, I think that's all well and good, and everyone, as you said, who played deserves to be questioned. But you know, we were most disappointed in our senior guys, and that's me included in the first month of footy. And it's very, very hard to question your young players on the list when the older ones aren't doing what's expected.
And you better not question them too hard, because they're going to be the future of a club that will look to the young players to lead the way. It whether it's a rebuild, call it whatever you will, until they play... What's a good number, Shorey? What's a good number you've coached and played?
Shoes always used to say 40. Yeah. I don't know why. I suppose it's because it's two...
Not a jumper number.
It's 2 years. it's two seasons,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. When did you feel comfortable? Especially because you came off the rookie list, Jamo, so that's not exactly the front door. You've come through the back door of AFL football. When did you feel... What number game did you feel, yeah, I'm an AFL footballer and this is where I play my footy, I belong?
I don't know if I felt that yet, but no, to answer the question, I think 2 years is, you know, probably a good way of putting it. You play your first year and, you know, sometimes you just get through on excitement and adrenaline, and then a lot of people talk about that, you know, second year blues, if you will. But, you know, you start to, you know, you notice then there's no excuses in your second year, and I think after that, you know, you go into your third pre-season, you know exactly what's expected. You know you're not going to get any you know, excuses for performances. So I think that third year is when you start to feel like you belong out there.
We saw a team, we had a section earlier, we were talking about the combinations, you know, Hooker, Hurley and Johnson, McFarlane. And
tall defender combos.
Yeah, really good combinations. And on the weekend we saw a side get beaten by 5 goals that had 71 entries. And you were sort, you know, Adelaide had 71 inside 50 entries. How important are now combinations? And I guess it's a leading question, because my perspective of you and Carlton is that it had to be done, but you're really missing Henderson. Your combination of you and Henderson is when I thought you were playing your really best footy, and now with these young fellas around you that are... And Rowie's been a good story. He's been a good story, but he's still an emerging and learning player. How important are combinations, given the fact that you'll say, oh, midfield's got to put pressure on, but you see the importance of Fletcher and these sort of blokes. Combinations in the back line, critical.
Yeah, no doubt, Shorey. I think it's so important because, you know, the really successful sides now have at least two power forwards. So if you're only going around with, you know, one defender or you know, some young guys, there's going to be a power forward that gets out, you know, from some teams. And so most teams now have three power forwards. I know we're playing with, you know, regularly three big tall forwards. So unless you've got those two guys that can gel and know each other and they can rotate off each other, you know, if I'm getting beaten by, you know, a cloak, you know, Rowie can switch over to him and, you know, I take a Jesse White or something like that. So, you know, having that partnership's, you know, critically important. And you hear the, you know, all the coaches I've had have said that they're great teams they've ever coached that are built around their defence. So it's not just those two, you know, big guys. It's no doubt having a really stringent defence.
Do defenders collect those quotes? Like the things that come in fortune cookies? Anything positive said about a defender? Defender, you're both defenders. Your ears like prick up. You get nothing on Brownlow night. Nothing. You're not invited. Jamo, you're not going to the Brownlow unless one of the players wants to take you as a date.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that haven't changed in the game.
Yeah.
Combinations in defence and comfortable with the players you play on and having trust at the moment. And it's not that he doesn't trust Jax, but the young kid's in game number 5, you know, and he had awful trouble with Kennedy a few weeks ago. But there was no one leaving their men or having...
Now, that's
cut across...
That's worth a quick discussion.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about that game.
No. Just that night, now it just happened to be the guy we've got in the studio, Jamison and Kennedy, the coach, commentators at the game, not one person spoke about Kennedy's direct opponent. It was all about this very uncommon thing in football, because it just doesn't happen anymore, that a player gets the ball inside the square or between the square and the 50-metre line, and there is an empty space between him and a leading full forward. It's how the game used to be played. This wonderful thing of being, you know, if Barry Price played today, his stair pass would go 3 metres and bounce from the back of the head of the bloke standing in front of him.
They'd have to go through 6 blokes.
Yeah, correct.
That was something.
And everybody was
discussed.
Saying, oh, I never knew that there was, you know, green grass between centre-half forward and full forward. It was a very disappointing team effort. You're not going to... pity Jamo's here because he's not going to say it. No fullback would have liked to have seen what was coming up the ground, which is players with the ball and nobody between the player and the guy he's on.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen to
us. We'll leave Jamo out of it. We commented on no one rolling back, no halfback flankers dropping into the hole.
And Mick Malthouse commented on it. And
yeah.
Must have been.
And that's why my question about combinations and feeling comfortable with players you're playing alongside, because it makes a whole difference. You look at the Brown Frost combination, you know. So
was that a very rare night, the way that played out against West Coast?
Yeah, it's a lot rarer than it certainly used to be. I know we had a game last year against Port Adelaide, which was similar. They just, you know, streamed forward. But I certainly remember playing on Lloydy, you know, I think in my third game, and he just said, took me back to the goal square and said, you know, look what happens here. And that was sort of the old days where it was just, you know, you're one-on-one in the forward 50 and good luck, you know, if it comes in cleanly. But thankfully those days have changed.
That's like, I can't remember who said it. I think it was Kevin Neal? I think when Kevin Neal was full forward, he walked back with a young fullback and he said, you're going to be in the paper tomorrow. You're going to be on the back page of the paper, son. The guy looked at him and goes, either I'm going to take a big mark over you or you're going to be in a crumpled heap on the ground, but you're going to be in the paper. Good news. You know who's a good man to fill a hole? Simon White.
Yeah, he's my housemate. So.
How's he going? He's missed.
He is.
I mean, he played that one run with role that was very good, but was very good last year. And I know Mick made special comment of him and Rowie last year as two players at the start of the year might have been not in the best 22, and that he wouldn't go onto the field without him within 4 or 5 weeks, mainly because of courage, I reckon.
Yeah, no doubt. Certainly missed his grunt. You know, he will push hard for this week. He's probably more unlikely to play than to miss, but we certainly look forward to having him back the week after because, as you said, he's courage and his grunt, and he can play in, you know, midfield forward and back, and it's something we desperately need.
Are you both more annoying when you're injured? You're sort of around there. Must be a bad dynamic in a house to have like a housemate who's... Because really, it's sort of off work.
Yeah, and you go through the grumpy stage of the first week and then... And he's at the stage now where he's not playing games, so he's got way too much energy and he's just an absolute pest. So I'm looking forward to him playing for that reason as well.
Welcome back to the whiteboard. It's out. The text depends, are scribbling away, and it says injured. So we take Jamo, we'll take your shoulder injuries because you've had some shoulder injuries. What happens immediately you go down the race? Because that's the last we see of them. We're sitting in the stands. Shit, where's Jamo? And then you're listening to the radio. Does anybody know what's happened? Oh, yeah, went off during the second quarter. And you went down the race, and that's the last we saw of you. What happens down the race? Is there a full medical team, an emergency team waiting for you, or what happens?
Yeah, so if you do we'll speak, you know, personal experience. If I do my shoulder, it's down into the race and usually followed by the doctor and physio. And then they'll just basically test it to see what they're looking for is what your strength's like. So if you've lost too much strength, that if you just go back out in the field, it's just going to keep popping out. If they determine it's okay, well, you know, that's obvious, straight back on. But if they think your strength's, you know, not up to playing league football, then you know, that's when you get the red vest these days, and it's all done. So
okay,
that's it for there.
What have they got available to them? If they'll have some pain relief, some Panadol, shots. What? And now it's all very stringent and very legal.
Yeah.
But what have they got available to them medically that could turn things around, maybe short term? So it's an important game. We want to get you back out there. So what goes on then?
Yeah, nothing too surprising, I guess. There's painkillers and anti-inflammatories are the two that they might try. If it's a huge game and you're back out there, then that's pretty much it. They send you back out and just see how you go, basically. For the next 5 or so minutes, and hopefully it's not too bad. But there's not really a lot you can do other than take a couple of Panadine and maybe an anti-inflammatory and try again.
You've had them operated on?
Yep.
Made What, for tightening up, for dislocation?
Yeah. 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 So I've had two different sorts of surgery. I've had five surgeries now, three on my left shoulder and two on my right. Wow. My left shoulder, I've had a latissimus, which is becoming, you know, quite popular with shoulder injuries, which is where they take a little bit of bone that's, you know, not really used off your collarbone, and they stick that in the shoulder joint. So that just, you know, decreases the chance
where the ball and socket meet, they make the socket bigger with the bit of bone to keep it in.
Yeah, so it can't slip back out the front. So, and that's got a, you know, it's quite only a new surgery, so I don't think there's a lot of long-term research, but it's been, you know, quite successful in the short term. So, you know, touch wood, it hasn't come back out on the left side, and on the right side, I've just, as you said, just some basic tightening up.
So that's fine there. They're good.
Yeah.
We've got Michael Jamieson in the studio, the whiteboard every week, current AFL player, to demystify and open the door onto things that we, the footy fan, don't get to see. So let's say the injury, you've come down the race, and they've said, that's it, whack the red vest on. And you put the red vest on and you think, there's going to be a bit of time away from the game. What happens next? Do you go home that night and, you know, open up a bottle of scotch, drink yourself silly because you're upset? Or do you straight away, you're into a process that looks like every minute counts. Every day, from the minute it happens, you're working to get back on the field as soon as possible.
Yep, no doubt. So, you know, a good example I'll use is, you already mentioned, in my housemate Simon White, who against you know, the Eagles had a knee injury, so he flew straight back. The team was meant to stay over, overnight for a clinic on Saturday, but he flew straight back, got his scans done. So that's usually the first thing that you'll do, and you know, the fans have probably seen on telly that the boys walking out of, you know, Vic houses and places like this to get their scans. And then, you know, he was pretty much straight back onto the ice machine at home, which is, you know, a machine these days. It's not just the bag of peas or the bag of ice from 7-Eleven. It's a...
Oh, this is great. So what's the ice machine?
The ice machine, so it's game ready, it's called. You tip the ice into it, and it comes with a sort of a big compression sock. You strap that around the knee, and it sort of blows up. You know, with freezing cold water. So it's compression and icing all in one. So
have you worked out how you could make margaritas with it in the off season?
No,
I bet you somebody tries. So you've got some equipment at home. Does every player have that ready to go, or is it shared around?
No, it's shared around. So the guys that, you know, really need it, like, you know, Whitey on that night, he'll take it. I think we've probably got four or five at the club. So the five, you know, most serious, if you will, you know, boys will take that home, and if it's a corky or something like that, it's still just the bag of ice or the bag of peas, like I'm sure he used to.
So let's go back to 1974.
No, we'll go to 19. I've got two very quick stories, yes. Right? And Brian Lake did his medial ligament, right? And he's going to miss 4 weeks. Well, I did mine in the late 70s, right? And what they did, Mark and Jemmo, you know these moon boots they have now, right? And they demobilise you.
Well, let's find out about those. What are the moon boots are?
What are they? Why do they wear them? Yeah,
it's just
why
to
do
take,
they move them, wear them during the week? Then I'll tell you what they did to me.
It's just to take the I'm sure it's going to be a different reason. Just to take the load off, you know, the ankle usually or the foot, and you know, to restrict your movement so you're not moving it around and making it worse.
Yeah. Well, what they used to do with the medial ligament, they used to do the same theory, Mark. So they were well up with the medical procedures back then,
yes.
Except they did it with plaster of Paris. So they put you in a plaster from your ankle to above your knee to stop the movement of your medial ligament.
Yes.
And they'd leave it on for 2 weeks. And when you took it off, they'd, you know, get the chainsaw off and cut it off and pull it off.
And you'd realise how much hair you've got.
And the medial ligament was magnificent.
Yeah.
It was just that your thigh had wasted to half its normal size. But I remember one game... about injury rehab. I did my best pre-season in Shoes' first year, right, 81. I never missed a session. I got myself really fit. I was injury-free, got everything like that. And he came up to me the Tuesday night before the first game against Geelong at Geelong, and he said, you're going to play on David Clark, right? Who went to Carlton, but yes. Very good footballer. So I tore my hamstring on the Thursday night, right? I walked off the ground, I got in my car and drove home.
Had you seen anybody from the club?
No, I just, well, I was so disappointed, I just walked out. They couldn't find me for 2 days. I just disappeared.
And you didn't see any medical profession? What round was it?
Round one. I've trained round from October. And I've got the big job in the centre.
It's great.
Tagging this bloke.
And it would have been disappointing, but didn't you think that the quicker you got professional help, the quicker you'd be back on the field?
I needed professional help after that, I'll tell you. Anyway, but...
So, but didn't the club hunt you down and say...
No, well, they came and found me. I was at home. I just locked myself in the house. Well,
they didn't look very hard. It took them 2 days to find you at home. Where else were they looking?
Anyway. So, yeah, I'm interested... And that's the sort of the moon boot theory with... But after your operation, it's keyhole now, isn't it? Or did they cut you open?
A lot of surgery. The latter day you get it a little bit more of a scar. But the first, I think, three shoulder surgeries I had were just all arthroscope, yeah.
And what was the quickest return? Obviously, they weren't... If you've done three, then the first two didn't go that well.
Well, I won't say that, because I had the same surgeon for all five, so maybe I should have reassessed that after the second one. No, but I've just got I've got very shallow joints, so there wasn't a lot that could be done. But I've had all my shoulder surgeries leading into the off-season, so I've never missed.
It never impacted.
Oh, right.
Never. You had a long layoff.
Oh, so you just kept playing with them.
Yeah, and so you can... I think a couple of times I took 2 weeks off and did some sort of strengthening exercises, which is often, you know, available to guys who do shoulders. We were saying it with, Daisy down at the club now. He's hurt his shoulder in the first 30 seconds of round one, and it's taken sort of 3 or 4 weeks off to just get the strength back up. Because if you do a shoulder, the main problem is all your muscles around that joint just shut down.
But also your ligament stretch, mate.
They
just keep popping out.
Yeah, so he's not going to be perfect.
Did yours keep popping out when you went for a mark and someone had hit your arm and your shoulder just came out?
Yeah, but I'm... You know, lucky's a funny way to put it, because mine are sort of so loose now, they pop in and out. It's not really, you know, no extra damage, or it's not sore or anything like that. So
that's not a ligament thing. That's the shallowness of your...
The joint. Yeah.
My God, that's interesting. I've done that one too, Mark. I had to miss 12 months with that. But it just keeps popping out. You go to put hands up for a mark and your shoulder just comes out of joint and it goes back in and you keep playing, and at the end of it, you end up having operations.
Let's go back to maybe Simon White. And he's got a knee, so he comes home and we've got the new medically sound and medically up to, you know, state-of-the-art sort of ice, what would you call it? An ice...
It's the same stuff you get at 7-Eleven, mate.
Compression.
Ice compression. He has that on for a period. What's he going to be able to do, say, during the day? So does he have to make sure that during the day he's not on his leg, or is he told exactly how to get about? I mean, he doesn't want to be trapped at home, and you don't want him trapped at home, but he doesn't want to be trapped at home. And surely the football clubs know that we can't expect these blokes to be immobile. Well, the ideal situation probably would to have him in traction and, you know, and save a week, but that's impractical. So what does he do, and what do footballers do within reason to keep that knee from moving around?
Yeah, well, similar to the moon boot, with a knee, it's not the plaster anymore, but he had a brace on for, you know, probably the first week. You know, the first week, or the first, you know, stage of the injury is basically getting the swelling out. So that's the main priority. So that's basically what he did for, you know, 3 or 4 days, was just icing, and then he went into the brace, which allowed him to get around. But as we said, with the plaster or the moon boot, really limit that movement. So his ligaments or whatever it was exactly that he did in that knee just had a chance to settle down and recover. And then once he gets out of that, that's when the probably the real work, you know, starts for him to come back.
Okay, so this is interesting. There's work. We know that there are training nights. First of all, he's got to be at the club for all the team meetings, and he's there for everything, no matter what.
No doubt. Yeah, a lot extra in rehab.
Okay. what is the work? So what is put on his plate or maybe your plate? We'll do with Whitey. I'm sure he won't mind. What does he have to do in terms of work to get back on the field?
Yeah, so clearly it's dependent on the injury. But so if a white man, you know, his, you know, if you will, his new coach becomes the, we've got a full-time, you know, rehab fellow at the club who's a, you know, a trained physio. So his role is basically to work with all the injured players and ensure that they're back as quickly as possible. So, you know, Whitey's, as soon as he gets the swelling out and the knee's ready to, you know, get under some load, then he's into the gym and in the rehab room. And, you know, that consists of, you know, it's probably a lot more basic than people realise. But, you know, some quad exercises for your knees, usually the most important. You know, some Pilates just to get moving again. Lots of ice baths, lots of work in the altitude room doing, you know, conditioning that doesn't involve the knee, so he can, you know, not lose all his conditioning when he does come back to play.
So what sort of knees are tough? Are there grinders? Are there rowing machines? That sort of stuff?
Yeah, both of them. A lot of boxing on the Swiss ball. You know, you add altitude, so that's, it's probably only, we're talking, you know, 2 or 5%. You know, extra, but when you're injured and you're missing sort of a month of footy, you take those little gains.
So there's a specific person, a rehab manager with a physio, qualified physiotherapist. There's an altitude room. There are ice bars. There are specific machines, and there are hours a day spent getting better. Let's go back in time.
Now, we had an altitude room at Essendon.
Yes, what was it? Upstairs,
the third floor of the social club.
So you're injured. Just pick one of them. Pick a card, any card, and you've got to rehab.
No, when I did my shoulder, we'd go off-site because we didn't have... So there was an off-site physio you went to and you had to make your bookings and all that sort of thing. And the
club, you go there?
The club paid for your...
Okay, but how long were you there for? Did he have...
I was there for 6 months because it was a 12-month... I missed 12 months of footy.
But how many hours a day was he...
You go there every day for an hour and you sit under doors and do pulleys to try and lift your shoulders up. Yep.
Off-site?
Yeah, most of it was off-site and you did your weight pro. They gave you the physios off-site at that time till the full-time doctors and the physios started with Shoods in 81. It was all off-site and you'd come back and...
would you train with the boys on a Thursday, Tuesday, do some laps, just...
Well, as soon as you start running, you could run. That's about all you did. And you did light weights till you get your shoulder mobilised. But it was all about, nothing changed. It was about mobilisation and strength.
Now,
and
the big thing back in the day was when the group trained together.
Yeah.
Did you have a different coloured top to denote injured?
Can't remember.
There were clubs, you know, that used to happen where...
Oh, if you're in the main group.
The main group would, you know, all be training their new brick. Who was your sponsor?
Well, it was... Newbrick, it was Don Smallgoods.
Okay, so you're in your Newbrick red and blacks.
And I was very, very lucky that in my first couple of years, when I was 17, 18, I played in a jumper with none of that on. So, with a small sash. You know, narrow Essendon.
The thin sash.
Yeah,
I still and the got VFL symbol.
Still got that jumper. No symbols.
Nothing.
I played an original Essendon jumper, which I've still got, in my very first year as 18. And then they came in.
And then they started putting things on it.
Talk to Jammo.
Welcome back to the whiteboard. Our man in this week is Michael Jamieson, Carlton defender. And Jam, I've got some very good news for you in a moment.
Is that what we were talking about before with Armitage?
Correct. And Robert Shaw, of course, is here as well.
We've got some great news for you.
Okay.
So the whiteboard has had a very positive effect on footballing stocks of those people who've come in to be part of the discussion. David Armitage, round one.
All Australian form.
Now, round one against GWS, he was actually down a bit. And you see his numbers were surprisingly, maybe even the teens or 20 possessions. Came in, did the whiteboard.
Yep.
And he really is almost in all Australian form. Straight away, best on ground against Gold Coast. 35 touches, very similar against Essendon.
Good against Essendon.
And close to St Kilda's best in the two losses to yourself. You saw him firsthand.
Yeah, he's very good.
How's he going?
Yeah, very good. And I watched... when they played Essendon, he was fantastic as well.
Yeah, well, the whiteboard. I don't know whether he ran past you and said, the whiteboard, it's unbelievable. Then Brent Stanton came in.
Yes.
Slow start to the season.
Very slow.
Poor against Sydney.
We gave him a touch-up on the show. And
And then things started to turn around against Carlton.
And you were reasonably blunt. You said you were blunt. Yeah. You said to him, You were poor against Sydney.
What's going on? What I didn't realise was the correct answer was I hadn't been on the whiteboard. Jamie McMillan came in last week, hadn't played at all.
He doesn't play, but he goes straight in.
And we spoke to him off air. He said, I don't know, I'm touch and go. Like the water of Lourdes or whatever it is in France, the restorative powers of the whiteboard, he was back in and wasn't his best game, but he's certainly back playing and he's a very important player. You have now enjoyed the healing powers of the whiteboard. We expect a swift return and also...
Thank you, play, and a victory.
And a return to... I mean, are you a chance this week?
Yeah, definitely playing this week.
Not you, Carlton against Brisbane. Oh, that's a joke.
The odds are with us.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything more about Brisbane. No, because I've been a bit tough on Brisbane's young key position players, and they are. There's an opportunity for Carlton to, if they just stick to the game plan, which I'm sure will be, which should be, give a couple of blokes up forward some opportunities to take some grabs. I think you'll be good. Okay, so we're back with the injury, and we've done all what the physios have told us in two eras. For sure, it's a daily visit, 1 hour. Neck, did you have to wait in the waiting room?
Yeah.
Robert, you're up now. Just sitting there reading the...
Into a cubicle, they put the... Still got those suction caps?
Yeah, with the cupping.
Yeah.
What, you're doing cupping now?
No, there's these things they put on the...
Oh, the pulse.
The pulse machine.
Yeah.
I used to sit on them for an hour at a time. I don't know what they did, but they still got them.
Still there. The electromagnetic pulse.
Yes, that's them.
Old voodoo, that was.
Interferential.
But, yeah.
Interferential machine.
I had one for my racing whippet. Old voodoo.
For a dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they put it on my shoulder, not my...
No, it was they put it where it's injured. It's a pulse. It comes with a gel. There's a gel and they...
Yes.
Yeah same stuff.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What's his fitness test?
So, you've both done what you required. How does the club assess whether or not you play?
Yeah, it's nothing too sexy. It's usually the last week before you play, you've got to get through full training, which clearly simulates a match. But, if it is a shoulder or something that's, needs to get through a fair bit of contact... Then it is probably old school sure. It's
is it?
You get the coaches the whack you with a few bags and a few bumps, and usually one of the development coaches gets thrown in and has to do a bit of competing and contesting.
Bad, that's good.
Maybe Capuano throws us around.
Yeah.
How much is your opinion taken into account? Because the problem here is you'll get at clubs everything from the player that's very cautious to the player that's could basically play with two broken legs.
Yeah, and that's probably why this decision's got to be made together. But look, it's a large part of it has to go to the player because if a doctor or a coach says you're right and the player doesn't think he was, then in all likelihood a player runs out in the field not thinking he's 100%, then he's probably not going to play that well anyway. So that's sort of you've got to take that into account. But as you said, it's you get the players that. We'll play through anything or try and play through anything. So, the doctor's got to try and weigh that up as well.
And I think they're both means to the same end because you want the best for the team. You've been so brought up as team players. Some players will think, I just can't risk going out there and breaking down. That would be terrible for the team. Other players will think, I really want to be out there and doing my bit for the team. So that's a bit of a fine balancing act, I would have thought.
Yeah, it is. I think especially now that there's all these statistics about it, losing a player in the first quarter and the damages that does to your chance of winning. And
that has been Carlton's curse this year.
Especially early it was, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry.
Fitness test?
I was quite surprised. This sounds like some common ground.
We didn't have those cushion bags, the ruck bags they use.
Yeah.
Bit of bag work. Well, it was very similar.
Who was the man to deliver the enforcement test at Essendon? Did they sort of bring out the gimp and Barry Grinter had been locked up for 4 years in a back room?
No, I was so young then. But no, it's the same thing. You had to do the full session and then the group would walk off and the doctor would come out, Bruce Reid,
yeah.
Sheeds. And
the gimp. Who was your physical? But who was the physical person to test you?
Oh, Peter Power, who was at Richmond.
Yeah,
he did. No, but what you did, if you had to pass a fitness test, you stayed out late and did your fitness test. And if it was a shoulder, you did 15 minutes of tackling work with another player.
Yeah, well, they just choose a random player.
And if it was a calf muscle,
yeah,
well, you had to do 10 100 sprints.
Yeah. But if it was a one-on-one with a player, was there a usual player that was Ronnie Andrews separated from his raw meat for 5 minutes to come and test you?
No, there was nothing.
Okay.
No, it was just...
Because right, you know at Melbourne...
You four stay out, because there was usually three or four of you.
Because at Melbourne, they handpicked the boys for poor old Jimmy Steins. What was no coincidence, a grinter was, Rodney, come here, please.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, they picked the biggest, meanest...
It's nothing like that. Whoever was available or staying out or doing extra work. So it's not too dissimilar. You had to pass a fitness test.
Do you want to... We'll play a bit of the most famous of all fitness tests. Stephen Sandor was club physio at the time. He had previously explained that Mick and Francis Burke... Now, Francis was the coach.
Yep.
And, you know, as soft as hardened concrete... We're conducting a test in front of 10,000 fans the Thursday before the grand final. They had gone through tackling, spoiling, marking from in front for Mick, spoiling from behind, and he had passed everything because he was so mentally tuned in to the notion of not letting that shoulder pop out again, and this was the final test.
In essence. So he, having completed all those tests, there was one thing left we wanted to do. And that was where Mick had to hold the coach's jumper and restrain the coach as he ran left and right, forward and back across the ground. And they duly did that for about, I don't know, 2 minutes, and there were no problems. They walked back towards us. Mick was smiling. The crowd's yelling out, pick him, he's okay, what are you waiting for? That's enough. And it was getting tougher and tougher, the situation. The coach, Francis, said, well, okay, we've done everything. Let's just repeat that test one more time. And given that Mickey passes it, we'll go inside and pick the team. So, okay, we all nodded, and Mick and Francis walked away from us, and I can still see this clearly. It's 33 years ago. I can see this clearly. They walked away, and Mick was holding Francis's jumper as they walked away. Not firmly, just holding it in readiness. But without notice, Francis darted off to his right, and Mick endeavoured to restrain him without having the opportunity to prepare his shoulder for that effort. And in duly, the ball of the humerus came straight out of the socket, and the arm had redislocated.
And that was the end of Mick Malthouse's chance of playing in the 82 grand final. It sounds like whether it was a grand final prep today, or the same era, but Robert Shaw's case, in the end, nothing will test a player like a bit of match simulation, or at least something relatable to that injury. So in that sense, we haven't come that far, fellows.
No, I guess it's, you're just testing for a game of footy, so there's nothing you can do to try and, you know, make that, you know, a bit less or a bit more than it is. You've got to... It is what it is.
It is what it is. Well, Jamo, we thank you so much for coming in. We hope we're sure we'll see you again.
Went quick, didn't it?
It always goes quick. It does.
We just started to get warmed up. But we warmed him up for Saturday.
Sunday.
Well, he gets an extra day.
Have you got a fitness test coming up?
I'll just have to train this
just
week.
Just train.
Yeah. Yep. So right. With a muscle injury, it's pretty much just train.
I don't know where this expression came from, but train the house down.
And who will his opponent be, Mark?
Which key position player for Brisbane?
Well, he'll go straight back to fullback, I would imagine.
Yes.
Right.
Well, probably Gardner. Or maybe the plumber, or maybe the electrician. I don't know. One of them.
Right.
I think Gardner. He's a good young kid, and Jamo will be the old wise man. Well, maybe when you're walking back to the square with him, you can say, your picture's going to be the paper on the weekend.
Yeah. Enjoy on that one.
Moz myself.
Yeah. We know that Jamo's a high...
What did Lloydy say to you? Come down here.
Come down here and see what happens.
That's a great line. What did you think?
I Although I know.
Oh, that's a good
Actually,
step.
We've got to build on that too. We can do the best lines.
Yeah, not, that's a great
Not
sleep.
The abuse, but the best lines.
I've got to say, you know, playing at local level cricket, the sport might be different, but the sleepers were great. You know the Bob Proffitt, who played fullback for Port Melbourne?
Oh, yeah.
I was playing cricket against him, and there was a fast bowler called Vic Anderson.
Yeah, stretch.
And all Proffitt said to me was, make arrangements.
Make arrangements.
I thought, hang on, that's not good.
All right, Jory,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamo. That is the whiteboard.